Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It's Al Martin, your host of WKAR's Current Sports, coming to you all on this Wednesday, June 17th, 2020. I really hope you all are having a great week out there. It is an absolutely beautiful day here in mid-Michigan, and the weather is going to continue to get warmer and warmer as the week continues. Awesome, awesome stuff. On today's Current Sports, as promised, we've got a special chat with our dear friend of the show. His name is Jason Ruff. He is a former Current Sports production assistant, MSU alum, who is now going into his third year as the play-by-play voice of the Odessa Jackalopes hockey team in Odessa, Texas, of the North American Hockey League. Jay Ruff joins me throughout this hour to talk about the Jackalopes and him going into his third season and the new normal in the world of hockey. We'll talk some NHL, we'll talk some MSU hockey, that and so much more. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this.
Well, first off, Al, it's great to see and talk to you again and to talk to all your wonderful listeners. It does seem like it's been a lifetime ago since we last talked. I think it was just before the whole coronavirus hit. Our season has been since been canceled here in the North American Hockey League. So the league announced that cancellation, and I went to Michigan to kind of shelter in place with my family for a few months. Spent my 25th birthday up in Michigan with my family, which is really nice. Since then, I've come back down to Odessa as we start the process of moving forward through coronavirus and getting set for next season. As of right now, the North American Hockey League is set to get their season underway at the normal time in September, starting with the Blaine Showcase. Obviously, everything's still up to change, pending obvious circumstances. But as of right now, we're full steam ahead, getting ready to start on time, which is good. In terms of the Jackalopes, we've since announced our new head coach, Jason Fortier. He's a veteran of the British Columbia Hockey League, a native of Sault Ste. Marie in Canada, not Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. But right. He's done a fantastic job up in Canada. We're excited to have him come down here to Texas and have him coach our young men and get them ready for the next step in their development, not only as hockey players, but also as people. So we're real excited about that. The league also announced yesterday that El Paso is getting a North American hockey team. They're going to be the Rhinos. They're not coming in to the league, not next year, but the year after, so the 2021 season. I tell you what, Al, the South Division, which is the division we're in the NAHL, is shaping up to be a monster division. So a lot of exciting times, not just in Odessa, but in the North American Hockey League as well.
And when it comes to your new head coach, I mean, how is that hiring process? Did it happen before the pandemic hit? Did it happen during the pandemic? How did that process work?
From what I understand, the process was ongoing as soon as our season was kind of slowing down, and obviously things were going on when the pandemic started to come on and stuff. And we announced it, I believe, in April, and so it was a really big announcement for us. And Coach Fortier, who has a track record of success, wanting to come down here. From what I understand, it was a shared mutual interest. We wanted to have him come down here. Coach Fortier was interested in the challenge, and we're excited to have him coming down here. We couldn't be more blessed, I think is the optimal word, because he was coaching with the Coquitlam Express up in the British Columbia Hockey League. And that team a few years ago, Al, was not very good, not the best team. Last year, in just a couple of years under Coach Fortier's leadership and guidance, that team was going into the playoffs as the number one team in the British Columbia Hockey League. So Coach Forte has a, not only a track record of success, but also a track record of quick turnarounds. Coach Adam Phillips, who was the interim head coach on the back half of last year, who I have a ton amount of respect and admiration for, he's going to still be on staff as assistant coach. I think that's a great move by organization. So you kind of have the familiarity of last year, but you also have the new experience of Jason Forte. You have those two great minds kind of blending to an excellent staff. And I'm really excited to see what the Jackalopes have in store for us here this coming hockey season.
I wanna also touch upon what was the time like for you? I mean, you know, when this pandemic first hit and you had to, because all of our lives basically stopped and were put on pause. They still are, to be honest. The pandemic is, we're still in the midst of a pandemic, despite what some may believe out there. But we were all affected by this thing in one way, shape, or form. And you were, and you went back home, I understand, right? Mm-hmm. And spent time with the family. What was that time like for you, a normally uber busy brother, going back home with the folks and recalibrating and trying to adjust to this whole thing?
Well, there are a lot of adjustments to be made. I can tell you this, I stayed busy. I mean, working from home is no picnic. You know, we all had to adjust to working from home and working in these new circumstances. I'll tell you one thing though, I enjoyed the food a lot better. My parents' cooking is a lot better than my cooking. I'm not ashamed to say that.
As it should be, right?
As it should.
You're still a young pup in this living alone career thing.
something like that. Yes. The cooking with the fam is much better, but it's just figuring out how to navigate the new normal, like going to grocery stores and gas stations wearing a mask or a buff with a filter on. That's mostly what I've been doing, because I think the buffs are a bit more stylish. They come in more colors than masks, honestly.
Hey, but there you go.
You got to get the filter in there. You got to get the filter in there. But learning to go through that, I'll never forget the first time I went out to Meijer, the local Meijer over and by our family's beach house in South Haven. Pretty much everyone's wearing a mask. Everyone, it was just surreal. Just, it was like you entered a whole new world or a reality, something you only like read about in a storybook or something like that. So right. it was a little bit interesting to adjust to that. It was also interesting, Al, because we were all up in our beach house in South Haven for 10 weeks. That's the most time our family's ever spent continuously at our beach house in South Haven. That place was built to be like, you know, the party house where the family gets together for a week or a weekend or whatnot. It wasn't made to have us all huddle up there for 10 weeks, but we were able to do it, you know, celebrate my 25th birthday there, which was really nice with my family, had a nice little personal thing. We watched the entire Star Wars trilogy entire Star Wars saga, because my dad said, you might as well do it now because I'm never going to probably want to do it again. So we sat down, we watched it. It was great. And,
And for those that don't know, Jason is the biggest Star Wars fan I've ever met in my life. I remember our conversations finally after certain current sports shows, you kind of breaking down, Al, you got to watch this one, then this one, and this one, and I rank this one higher than it. I mean, he knows his stuff, man. So I'm sure that was great bonding time with you and your pop.
Oh, yeah, it was. And also a good time to keep in touch with my work family here in Odessa via Zoom, keeping the ball moving forward. I've started a new Zoom series called The New Normal. We've talked with local community leaders here, former players, as well as, you know, major business leaders here, business leaders that we do work with as a hockey team. For example, I talked with the manager of the local community ice rink, for example, in one of the episodes, just talking about a variety of topics among which, how do we move forward here as we work through this pandemic and try to adjust to a new normal, so to speak.
Got to ask you, when you were having these Zoom conversations with other reps for the Jackalopes, I'm wondering, J. Ruff, I mean, what were those conversations like about
when you all could return, when did the players feel comfortable when it came to returning, and what does, I know this is a layered question, but what does the new normal look like in the world of hockey? You tackle those first two first, though, because I'm curious to know what those conversations were like when you guys knew, all right, we're pretty good now. Let's try this thing.
Al, you're laying it on like a nice thick birthday cake, man.
Yeah, I know, right? Exactly.
but that's why you're the man. You give us the hard questions. Talking with some of the players, I've only had a chance to talk to a couple of our returning players. A lot of them have been the players who are moving on to go play college hockey. But in talking with our returning players, I think they want to come back here. I think that they've gotten to the point where they want to come back. They want the season to start on time. And as of, like I said earlier, the season is going to start on time as it stands right at this moment. We'll see if that changes or not. I don't know. But assuming we do start on time, we'll have our main camps and we'll have our training camps here in Odessa, probably in August, early September. And then we'll start in our season in September. And from what I've gathered, the players that are returning that I've talked to are comfortable with that. They trust that we're going to take the right precautions. And in talking with the folks here at the Ector County Coliseum in terms of fans and how they're going to come in and their experience and keeping them safe, it sounds like, quite frankly, that they are quite on top of things. Like, for example, Al, we have plexiglass all over our concession stands. Talking with the Coliseum staff here, they're going to try to limit which they're going to open up all the entrances and try to instruct people, okay, which entrance are you going to come into that's going to be closest to your seat so you can hopefully stay within that area of the building. They're washing everything down. They're sanitizing everything down. The only draft stand that's going to be open is going to be the bottoms up stand where you put a cup on and it fills it from the bottom up. They're really cool. I've seen them. They're really cool.
From the bottom up, it fills.
From the bottom up, yeah. It's these specialized cups. They have, like, I don't know if it's like a little magnet or something at the bottom, but you put it on the thing, and the drink shoots up and fills from the bottom up.
Whoa! I've never. You gotta look it up. I'm about to Google that after we get done here. I'm gonna Google that, brother.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
But they're on top of all their sanitation things. In terms of what the players are going to do to maintain social distancing, I haven't heard much yet. A lot of those conversations, from what I understand, are being handled by upper echelons of the league that I'm not privy to. But I would imagine I'd be shocked if the league did not take the proper precautions. I have full confidence in our league that they're going to take the proper precautions to maintain the health and safety of not only our players and our support staff, but also our fans as well. So I think the confidence in our league is high. I think our players and coaches and everyone recognizes that, and they trust the league to make the right decision.
Was there any hesitancy at first when you guys were like, all right, let's set this date to come back. Let's get you guys back in the office on this day. Was there any hesitancy from staff or players when you guys were first having these conversations?
Not really. I can't speak for a lot of the others, but I can speak for myself. As soon as June rolled around, I think I all kind of had it in my mind that, okay, we should probably get back. It's been 10 weeks. We don't want to fall too far behind in the summer. The governor of Texas, Governor Abbott here, lifted his travel restriction of if you were coming from Michigan or Chicago, you had to quarantine for two weeks. And they had people waiting on the jetway to say, all right, you come from Chicago. Where are you going? We're going to send the troopers out to make sure that you're quarantining. That was my biggest, like, hey, I can't come back to work just yet because, I mean, if I have to quarantine in place for 2 weeks, I'd rather spend it up with my mom's cooking than down with poor excuse for cooking. But when that was lifted, I don't think there was really a lot of hesitancy at all. I think a lot of us wanted to get back to work because we didn't want to lose out on valuable time on getting set for the season. There's a lot of work that goes on to getting ready for a regular season during the off season. If you fall too far behind, by the time that, at least in our instance, when the time August hits, you're scrambling, and we don't want to be scrambling.
So true. And you know, it's like I said when we started this, I mean, the virus is still out there. I know that the Texas governor, because I think I saw Texas, Florida, and Arizona set records when it came to the coronavirus, when it came to coronavirus cases yesterday. I was talking to my stepdad actually last night. We were chatting it up, and he lives down in Florida with my mother and my sister. And, you know, Florida is going to Florida, Jason. They abide to their own rules, and people are still out at the beach with no mask on. It's just different. And I know cases are still happening in Texas. I'm wondering, what is the protocol if there is an outbreak in your league within your team?
I'm not quite sure what the protocol is. I'm sure their protocols are being talked about right now. Excuse me. But I think the comforting thing right now is that everything right now is tentative. We don't have a set schedule out yet. So I know the topics or our conversation are still being up in the air. Do we still have our Blaine showcase in Minnesota this year? Do we push it back? Do we cancel it? Do we go for a shortened season? I do know that all those options are still being discussed and are on the table. So I believe contingency plans are being made up by the league at the highest level. It's just, as of right now, we're operating under the assumption that we are going to resume play as normal, but it is by no means set in stone as of yet.
And you talked about the precautions that you guys are taking within the arena. I'm wondering, how big are your crowds usually at a typical Jackalopes game?
Usually we'll see anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 fans on an average night. We're hoping to hopefully up that number a little bit as well. But one of the good things that the Coliseum is doing as well is they are actually practicing social distancing in terms of the seating. So they're going to be selling tickets in bunches of 2, 3, 4, 5, and they're going to space those groups out across the Coliseum. So it's going to be 2 or 3 seats of separation between each group of individuals buying tickets. So they're going to be spread out over the course of the Coliseum. I think that'll look good. I mean, we have a big barn here, Al. We can easily seat 5,000. It's kind of similar to Munn Arena over in East Lansing, for those of your listeners who have ever been there.
If you ain't been to Munn Arena as a Spartan listener of current sports, come on, man.
Well, you know, I'm always on you, Al. You got to get down to Munn Arena. Al, you got to get down to Munn Arena. Yeah, I hope I don't make it down there on a permanent basis in East Lansing, because then I'm just going to be calling you up every single week. Al, you coming down to East? You coming down to Munn? You coming down to Munn?
See, the only time I go to Munn, J-Rup, is for like some kind of interview, man. That's the only time I go. I've never gone. I'm ashamed to admit this. As you know, Jason, I've never gone to an MSU hockey game just to enjoy it. You know, I know, isn't that, that's just shame. That's shame. So I gotta change that, brother. I gotta change that. If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are talking with the one, the only, Jason Ruff of the Odessa Jackalopes, as Jay Ruff is giving us an update on how, the Jackalopes and the players down there and the staff is trying to get back to, some kind of normalcy. Jason, I want you to talk about the NHL now, man. You are a huge hockey fan, as we all know. And, you know, the National Hockey League, you know, we were chatting, I think it was last week, about, you know, the new normal in the world of professional sports. And I want to know, how do you feel about the NHL's return and the quality of hockey that we'll see once they get back on the ice?
I'll be honest, Al, I kind of have some mixed feelings about the NHL coming back. On one hand, I'm really excited to see playoff hockey again, and I'm sure we're all excited just to see sports again after all our favorite sports got shut down, and we're all wondering if, you know, MLB is going to have a season yet.
Yeah, I know.
MLB cap. So we're all worried about that. But at the same time, you know, I love the purity and the integrity of playoff hockey, because there's nothing like that. And I don't know, I just can't shake the feeling that, like with basketball coming up on Disney World soon, it's just not going to be quite the same, because playoff basketball is a whole other animal too. I mean, I haven't watched a lot of it, admittedly, and I know, and the NBA is your baby, so please don't get mad at me for saying this.
Oh, but, come on now. No, not at all.
Saying that, but I mean, it's pretty intense too. Not hockey playoff intense, but NBA playoff, especially if we have a good finals series.
Yeah.
Pretty intense too. But
I hear
back
you.
On track, you just can't shake the feeling that it's not going to be the same. And as a person who loves the integrity and everything about playoff hockey, it's a little disconcerting, but at the same time, I think it's something that at the end of the day has to happen. I mean, there's so many TV contracts out there. There's so much money that the leagues don't want to let sit on the table. So, and plus, I think for the national consciousness, it'll be good to get sports back and good to get hockey back.
What is your biggest concern right now? Because, you know, dates are being pushed now. The sporting calendar, we're going to have to get used to that new normal because everything has been pushed, right? What is your biggest concern? Is just about sports trying to get back to some kind of normalcy?
I think my biggest concern is how late we're pushing all these playoffs into. Like, the NHL is going to have their playoffs in July and August. How is that going to affect next season? That's probably my biggest concern, and how this is going to start a ripple effect. Are we going to have just a completely shortened season from next year, as the NHL did in 2013 when they had the lockout, when they were able to get that resolved and start late in the season? Who knows? I think that's probably my biggest concern in terms of the NHL restarting.
More with our chat with the one, the only Jason Ruff of the Odessa Jackalopes when we come back. You are listening to the Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We now continue our feature interview with our dear friend Jason Ruff, play-by-play man of the Odessa Jackalopes of the North American Hockey League.
For you as a play-by-play man down there in Odessa, Texas, for the Jackalopes, Jay Ruff, what excites you, man, about, you know, the most about your career now? You know, I mean, you know, you'll be rocking the mic. This will be your, is it third year?
Third year.
Time is flying already, man. What excites you about this third year for you professionally?
Professionally, I think what excites me is continuing to grow as a broadcaster. I was listening back to one of my broadcasts from my first season. I almost didn't recognize myself. I was like, oh my goodness. Thank goodness I'm not the same broadcaster. I mean, but that's the same way we all. I'm sure if you watch some of your tape back from when you started, when you first just out of college, you'd be looking like, wow, I'm glad, dude, I'm not that anymore.
I tortured myself. I want to say it was sometime last year. I said, man, let me just go back and reminisce. I was in a nostalgic kind of mood, and I went back and I listened to one of my very first shows, and actually went back and watched one of my very first Current Sports TV episodes, and I cringed. I wanted to jump through the speaker, jump through the TV, and be like, Al, what are you doing? But that's how we are. I mean, that's growth, though. You know, that's a growth. We all are like that, especially when you're hard on yourself already as a tough critic, right?
Oh, yeah. So I think that's what I'm most excited about, knowing that I'm going to have another season to get better, to hone my craft, knowing that I've already made significant progress in my career, but also knowing there's a lot more progress that needs to be made. And I'm excited. I'm excited for the direction our organization's going. I'm really excited to work with Coach Fortier and all the new players we're going to have coming in next year. And hopefully, I think we can surprise some people in this division. I think a lot of people are sleeping on us right now. They don't quite know what to expect with the new coaching staff. I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll be able to surprise some people in our division. And it's about time, because Odessa deserves a winner.
I want to dive into the team in just a moment, but I'm curious now. You got my curiosity piqued. When you went back and listened to that, to those very first broadcasts, what did you say to yourself where you're like, dude, what in the world am I doing here? How have you grown? How have you improved now going into your third year?
I'm doing a lot. I can tell you exactly what I was listening to and what I said to myself. I said, oh my gosh, I am not describing where the play is at all. Like, and I thought I was usually doing a good job of trying to describe where the play is, you know, far side, left side, right side. But I wasn't identifying base the circle, behind the net, top of the circle, where a shot was coming from, what part Golan makes a save. Does he make it with his pad, with his glove? All kinds of identifiers, which on radio you have to do to let to paint the picture in the mind of the viewer, in the viewer's mind's eye, of where the play is and how it's developing. I remember watching one of my first broadcasts and thinking, wow, that's one part of my broadcast that I've really grown in and that I'm really proud of.
That's the key, right? When you're a radio play-by-play man, you are a Picasso. You have to really paint a vivid picture about what's going on, because I mean, you got to play to the imagination of whoever's listening. And that's so tough to do, especially when you talk about a fast-paced sport like hockey, right? Mm-hmm. Who are your broadcasting idols, man? Like, who do you listen to when you say, man, I want to be like that guy?
Well, obviously, the list starts with Doc Emmerich. I mean, he's the Michael Jordan of hockey broadcasters.
He's amazing. Have you seen the HBO special on him done by Real Sports or Bryant Gumbel?
I've seen parts of it. I haven't seen the whole thing yet.
It's amazing. Unbelievable. I'm not a big hockey guy, but man, Doc Emmerich, watching that feature done on him, mad respect to him. I love him. The guy is amazing.
He's fantastic. Growing up, I was a big fan of Pat Foley and how his excitement would just drive the game, even when the Blackhawks were not doing very well, which, to be honest, in my childhood, they weren't. But still, the way Pat could get a listener and a viewer excited about a play and hold their attention really struck with me, and something that I tried to stay with as well. So those are the big two. If I also had to name another one, I would say Matthew McConnell, another Michigan State alum, a gentleman who I've had the pleasure to meet a couple of times and talk to, who's a friend of mine. He's over with the Arizona Coyotes. And just the way he describes a game, how smooth he is, smooth as silk, Al. I don't want to say cool as the other side of a pillow, because that's not my line.
No, that's your line. Hey, it's not mine either. I credit my man Stuart Scott for that. That's the
great Stuart Scott. That's Stuart Scott's man, so I don't want to steal that. But just the way Matt smoothly describes a game, and that's what I aspire to. I'm self-admittedly, I'm not there yet where I can be that smooth, but that's obviously a goal and an ideal to strive for. So those would probably be the big three broadcasters that I really look to and look for inspiration to, at least from the professional level.
Yeah, Matt is amazing. I talked with Matt about a month ago now. I hosted a webinar for the College of Communication Arts and Sciences here at Michigan State University, and Matt was a part of the Zoom panel that I hosted, and he is a professional who knows his stuff, who is so detailed, and just a good guy. You know, Matt and I talked for about 10 or 15 minutes after, and he's just so down to earth, and you appreciate people like that in this business, especially when you talk about those who have a lot of egos being on TV and radio. Matt is not like that whatsoever. All right, Jay Ruff, tell us about the Jackalopes. What since you've been there, what kind of success have you all had? And you already talked about how it's, you know, your time, how it's the Jackalopes' time to shine, and how you guys are really looking forward to a great year now. Take us through what's happened since you've been there, and what makes you excited specifically about this year.
Well, since I've been here, we've gone through a lot of changes, not only in terms of our coaching staff, but also our front office. We've made some changes, but these changes have been for the better, I believe. We have our new president, Rick Matchett, who was formerly with the Amarillo Bulls up in the Texas Panhandle, who's a great GM and president up there, really well respected, well regarded. Also another radio guy, so he gets the big picture, so to speak, and he really values the radio aspect that he brings to it. He's a great boss, a pleasure to work for. I love working for him. We have a wonderful staff on here. We all love each other. We all get along, and it just makes our jobs that much more enjoyable and easier. From the hockey side of things, I've kind of already touched on it. We've got a new coaching staff. We've got good players coming in, and while the organization, at least in my time here, has not had the success we would like to have, I have a feeling that it's going to be coming soon. It's soon to be our time. Odessa deserves a winner, and I'm really confident and excited to see what the future holds. If hockey teams in the NHL were like buying stocks, I'd be buying stock in the Odessa Jackalopes right now, because I have the only feeling that our stock is going to go nowhere but up.
Can you tell us about a few players maybe that really stand out? And are there any players that you think have some NHL potential, Jason?
I'm not sure about NHL potential, because it's really hard to judge that at this level, and I'm not a scout. But right. I can tell you a couple guys who I think could move on to the next level and possibly play Division One. I'll start with Isaiah Humphner, who was one of our captains last year. He was an assistant captain as a rookie, and that is an incredibly hard thing to do. Native of Grand Rapids, Michigan. I actually got off a Zoom call with him a few days ago, with him and his good friend Graham McCormick. Here's a fun story for you, Al. Those two boys have been playing with each other for years. They were on the team last year together. They played midget hockey the last couple of years together. Those two guys, they room together, they billet together. Those guys do everything together, and they're just two wonderful gentlemen. But Isaiah is an individual who is a great leader both on and off the ice. He has a pretty good release and a really good shot. And I think that this year he has an opportunity to really come into his own and take that next step, not only be a leader, but also be a major contributor. I think he has a lot of Division I potential. Certainly D3, he's one who's definitely going to college. I'd be absolutely flabbergasted and shocked if he didn't. Mm-hmm. Another one I think we have a lot of confidence in terms of our returners is a goaltender by the name of Andrew Takacs, who we acquired from the Maryland Black Bears last season, mid-year. This is a gentleman who came in. We had a lot of goaltending issues. We'd have goaltenders get hurt, and we forced our goaltenders last year to face a lot of minutes and a lot of shots, and Takacs came in and did an absolute phenomenal job. I mean, Al, this kid is a competitor. He made probably one of the most ridiculous saves I've ever seen. Down and out, two-on-one against, guys coming down the right side, feeds a pass over into the slot from right to left. This kid has a wide open 4x6 to shoot. Takacs reaches out with the paddle and swats the puck away as it's going into the net. Makes just an absolutely remarkable save. And how that save did not end up as the number one save highlight in the North American Hockey League, I will never know. Granted, I'm biased, but still.
What play did make number one if it wasn't that one?
It wasn't that one. It was another desperation save that the goaltender was out, and he came back around and swung his paddle out to keep the puck from crossing the goal. And the puck was still on the ice, so he kind of reached out and swapped it and pulled it back into his body to cover it. I don't think that has as much of an awe factor as reaching out midair, smacking away a hard wrist shot.
That's amazing. I mean, because that's just – the puck is just floating in the air. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in that other play, you at least had the ice to kind of help you and guide you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, it seems like there's a lot of potential on this squad, right?
I do. And here's the other thing, and I didn't get a chance to use this stat because we never got to a shootout with Takacs. Takacs has yet to give up a shootout goal. When he's going to shootout, he's yet to give up a shootout goal. In the one game that he was playing, we went to overtime. I was like, okay, maybe if we go to shootout, I finally use this little factoid. We ended up winning it in overtime, which I prefer that result, but I'm like, well, I guess I have to wait until later. Of course, the season got canceled a couple nights later, so I never got to use that stat, but maybe next year. But no, I think the biggest – so those are just two of many gentlemen that we have coming back who I think have a lot of potential in that look to be potential college hockey players. But I think the biggest thing, Al, is that we have such camaraderie in that locker room, especially in the last half of the year. I think that's why this team started to have success, why even though they weren't a playoff team, they were playing with playoff teams, and they were playing spoiler to playoff teams. And I hands down believe this. Had the season finished out and run its course as per usual, we would have probably won a majority of the games going down the stretch, because I think we had about 10 games or so left to go, and we would have won a majority of them. I mean, this team was coming on. It's a wonderful group of young men that we have returning, and obviously we're going to miss the ones that are moving on to bigger and better things. But, you know, we have a lot of new guys coming in from tenders and whatnot, and we're excited. And I can't wait to see what the future holds.
You know, you mentioned you not getting a chance to mention that factoid. I'm wondering, what is your pregame routine like leading up to a match, Jason? Because that's the thing, man. You know, throughout the course of a game, it's long, and yeah, you have to do extensive research on each and every one of your players and the coaching staff. What is your research like? And I'm sure throughout the course of a broadcast as well, because hockey is a fast sport. It's not like baseball where there's a ton of downtime.
Oh yeah,
it's hard to get in everything you want to get in. Can you take us through that process for those that don't know anything about, and maybe sit next? Because I know a lot of cats. Trust me, I know a lot of cats, Jason, who sit on the couch and watch a game and they criticize all these play-by-play guys when they have no idea the work that goes into it.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of work. I'm fortunate in terms of our schedule. We usually have a couple games a week, so that gives me a little bit more time to set up. But it usually takes place over the course of the week, talking with our players, trying to say, hey, are you coming up on a major stat? Are you coming up on 100 points or this, that? That's another thing I've gotten a lot better at. I forced myself to get a lot better at from now as to where when I started. It's looking at that, and the league publishes a weekly report that has every single stat you can imagine. I usually print that out and look through it and take a big legal notepad like this and just start jotting stuff down about the other team, because I usually know our stats, like when was the last time we did this, we did that. I obviously jot those down as well. And it's not just stuff like, How are the Jackalopes on the power play? How are the Jackalopes on the penalty kill? How is Team X, whoever we're playing, Corpus Christi Ice Rays, for example, how are they on the power play? It's more than that. How many goals do they usually score in the first period? Do they usually score most of their goals in the first period? Do they give up most of their goals in the third period? Because those can tell you different things. They like to get out to a hot start, but then if they don't get that big lead, they usually can't hold it or whatnot. How are they in terms of the first period? Like, here's a stat for you, Al, that – a meta stat for you, if you can call it that. If the Jackalopes did not lead or were tied after the first period last year, usually they lose the game. So, and I think there was only a couple of times in the season where we bucked that trend, but that was a trend that was going in. And you could tell it was important. And it's something you can ask the coaches about. I asked interim head coach Adam Phillips then at the time about that. And he mentioned that, sure, you know, we gotta keep our confidence up. We want to keep our confidence up. And, you know, it's important to get that first goal and to have confidence going out of the first period, because then that can go on for the rest of the game. Stats like that you can only see by looking at some of the more advanced statistics and looking for trends and looking at some of the deeper stats aside from the real basic stuff that you can get on, like, I don't know, like any ad tracker or whatnot. And plus, it also helps that the league publishes, like, the day or the day before a game, they publish a league report, which is just those two teams. You can see exactly how they match up against each other, who are the top scorers in the league, like almost every conceivable stat. So I take that. I have that all highlighted in my booth. So I usually have my notepad in my booth. I have my big packet that's all highlighted. I have my my roster board, which I don't have a copy in my office, so I can't show you, but it's usually like a foldable tag board that has all the names and numbers and usually a little bit of a nice little stat next. I try to get one for each player. Sometimes I don't, but a nice little stat that I can bring up, say, hey, he has scored 3 goals in his last 4 nights, or hey, he's committed to this college or what. Just a quick little stat I can throw in there. And you don't always use all your stats, but as Matt told me, and many other broadcasters have told me as well, it's always better to have more information than you can use.
Exactly, right? Because you don't want to get caught like, oh man, I don't know what to say here. So yeah, right. always better to be overprepared than underprepared. What's the toughest part about your process, Jason? What's the toughest part? Is there a part that you dread?
it's memorizing the names, honestly. It's memorizing the names and the pronunciation. I try to spend extra time on the pronunciation and memorization. It's just, for names, it's always been difficult for me, so I've had to overcome that, and that's part of the reason why I have my board. It's just something you got to do. You Every broadcaster has their own different system that they claim is the best, which is absolutely fine. I know some broadcasters use flashcards before a game, and they've got it, and they can memorize which name and number is which guy running down up and down the ice. I can't do that, so I have to have my board in front of me just so I can see and visually remind myself, okay, number 9 is Erickson or whatnot.
Those hockey names can be tough too. Some of those hockey names can be tough. And I know you guys used to make fun of me all the time whenever I would talk hockey on current sports, and I would screw up a name, and you say, "No, Al, it's this," and I'm like, "Look, dude, I'm sorry, but these hockey names just throw me for a loop. What happened to John and Smith, man?"
Oh my gosh, Al, you should have seen our roster last year. We had some really good names that I got a lot of questions of. Shout out to one of my former play of ours, Vilho Saaraluoma.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Whoa. How is that spelled?
With two A's and one R. It was a nice long name.
Jeez. That's a lot, brother. You know, I'm curious now that you're talking about, you know, some of these players committing to college and whatnot. How many Spartans, if at all, have come through the Jackalopes program? Have any?
Well, we have Aurora Spartans. We have three Aurora Spartans that are going to Aurora this year. But gotcha.
No
Michigan State Spartans yet. I'm always hopeful. I mean, we obviously have plenty of Michigan State fans. Like, for example, Jack Rudin, who's a Michigan native. He's a big Michigan State guy. He's going to Aurora, so he's gonna be a Spartan. He's going to be playing for the blue and white of Aurora University.
Yep, that's so awesome.
Shout out to him. He's a wonderful guy, wonderful player, and wish him nothing but the best. But no Michigan State Spartans yet.
Yes, exactly. That's the key word. All right, J-Rupp, before I get you out of here, man, I cannot leave you without giving you the chance to talk about next season for MSU hockey and the job that Coach Stanton Cole is doing. I've mentioned to you last year of how I can just feel there's a change right mm-hmm. now. No slight to Tom Anastas, but right now there is a change. You feel like Coach Cole has two hands firmly on the wheel of the car that is MSU hockey, and he is flying right now and doing one heck of a job.
I believe I said it to you last time you had me on, Al. Last year was both very promising and very disappointing. Promising in the sense that Michigan State exceeded the expectations that they were placed on them coming into that season. They played well. They were competitive. They were fun to watch. The students were coming out en masse to support them. The student section was full or almost full most nights from what I gathered talking to people who were there, and the fans recognized that. So they were a fun product to watch. Disappointing in the sense that they were this close, Al, to making an NCAA tournament berth, to really taking that big step towards saying, hey, we're Michigan State hockey and we are here to stay. So knowing that with this past year in the rearview mirror, I think this next year needs to be the year that Coach Cole and the Michigan State hockey program take that next step, get deeper into the Big Ten tournament for one, and possibly make the NCAA tournament for another. I think it's time to take that next step. You've got the Munn renovation, obviously delayed due to COVID, but obviously well on its way to being complete. I think that's going to help. I think now is the time. Like the Jackalopes, I think now is the time for Michigan State hockey to take that next step and go nowhere but up.
What do you admire the most about Coach Cole?
I think I admire his intensity and just his hockey knowledge. I mean, this is a gentleman who has been all around the horn. He's coached in Division I college hockey. He's coached in the United States Hockey League. He's been with the Team USA national program. He knows his stuff, and when you talk to him about hockey, he knows his stuff. He's very passionate about Michigan State, and he's the right type of passionate. When you're talking with him, when looking at the way he runs his bench, when talking with him in post-game, you just get the sense that he is the right man for the job. I think that's what I appreciate most from him and from his coaching staff, and you just feel comfortable with Michigan State hockey under his guidance. You feel like you have a nice, firm, and steady hand at the tiller.
When we do see playoff hockey return, I'm wondering, who are your favorites to be that next team to raise up Lord Stanley?
I'm surprised you didn't ask me about the cities, because that's what everyone's been talking about. Who are going to be the two host cities?
That too. Please comment on both of those.
So I'll start with the latter first. You know, there are 10 cities in consideration: Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Vancouver. Just looking at my notes here. I think Chicago's probably going to get the nod for one.
Of course you would say that.
Okay,
all
bias aside here, you look at how Illinois has handled their coronavirus cases. New cases are dropping right now, like Michigan. So Illinois has done a good job in terms of getting a handle on the coronavirus. Plus, Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania has as well, to be fair. But I think Chicago's a bigger market, and I think there's – and if you want to get – I think you want to have a team closer – that's somewhat close to the East Coast and one close to the West Coast.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to have full one-on-one in the Eastern time zone or not. I'm not sure. I think it's going to be either Chicago or Pittsburgh for the East Central – for the East Central team or whatnot. It could very easily be Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh is in the Eastern time zone in the Eastern Conference, and they may just want to put the Eastern team there. Or, and the other city I think it's going to be Vancouver. Justin Trudeau, a Canadian prime minister, said he's open and willing to have hockey in one of the cities, provided the local civic leaders are okay with it. And when you look at the Canadian provinces that directly border the United States, British Columbia has the least number of coronavirus cases per capita. British Columbia has done a very good job, and it makes sense. Pacific time zone, Canadian city, throw a bone to the Canadians, because I feel like they need something. They can't. And so I think Vancouver makes sense to be the Pacific Coast team. So those are the two cities that I think are, or three, I guess, if you throw in Pittsburgh, that are going to be at the end, kind of. Those are my favorites, I should say. And in terms of teams, I'll give you a couple for each conference. My favorites in the East, I like Boston and Philadelphia. Boston just because they just had a really good year. Philadelphia too, because you just sense there's something different with this Philadelphia team. I get the same vibe from them as I got from the 2010 Philadelphia team. You know, that hard-nosed but also very highly skilled team that really gave the Blackhawks a tough run in the 2010 Stanley Cup Final Series.
Right,
so
right.
I get that same vibe from that Philadelphia team. I get the same vibe kind of from this Philadelphia team. Obviously updated with a little bit more skill, but you just get the sense that Philadelphia team is going to be there. And my dark horse in the East is actually going to be the New York Islanders. Yeah, they kind of struggled a little bit out of late, but they've got a mid-round seeding in this Islanders team. The Islanders always have the potential to burst open and have a big offensive output. So you just never know when that's going to hit. If it hits in the playoffs, I think the Islanders could have a really good shot. And I think the Islanders, quite frankly, are due for a Stanley Cup Finals appearance. It's been way too long, in my opinion. Looking at the West, my favorite's actually going to be Colorado. I like the Islanders, I think it's Colorado's time. I think I really like what I'm seeing, a lot of young and hungry talent with the Colorado Avalanche. I think the city of Denver and the whole state of Colorado is hungry for one. And I think this Avalanche team just – I know that may be blasphemy saying here in Michigan with the whole history behind the Red Wings and the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, but, man, rivals.
Oh, yeah. Well, not anymore since the Wings left and went off to the
East. Oh, the Wings. Don't even – yeah, the Wings are like – yeah, they're like irrelevant right now. But, yeah, hey, Stevie Y is trying to put the wheels back on the track. Hey, we'll see what happens.
Brett, again, I hope he does a really good job. The league is better when the Red Wings are really good. The league is better when all the original six teams are good.
All right, I really hope you all enjoyed that chat. Jason Ruff doing big, big things in the world of broadcasting. Really looking forward to him rocking the mic in his third year with the Odessa Jackalopes. We'll see you on Thursday, folks. Until then, take care, be smart, be safe, and be easy, people.